Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 196. My name is John. So while the pageant of lies still glow from your tongue, don't blame me for your kingdom come. It's been a long time since I've talked about this on my podcast, but for a while there, in my early adulthood, approximately every 5 years, I went through something that changed my life and my perception of the world. Two of these things have been on my mind recently. First, in 2004, I dealt with a treacherous preacher who betrayed everything he said our church stood for. And when I challenged him, he turned the congregation against me. I basically lost everyone I thought were my friends and family to the thralls of a silver-tongued devil. In 2009, just months after getting the promotion I had worked years for, I was part of a series of layoffs at a company that had taken billions from the government under the pretense of saving jobs. I basically lost the income and the opportunities because a corporation lied that the money that they were taking would be used to help retain their employees. I talked about both of these way back in the podcast. The first made me rethink my participation in religion and inspired me to seek, well, my own way in life. The second made me rethink my participation in politics and inspired me to separate from the conservative movement. I realized that leaders or figureheads are either corrupted by power or hide their true motivations until they achieve the power they seek. They will tell you anything you want to hear, and then do the exact opposite of what they promised you straight to your face. In both setbacks, the hypocrisy was rampant, and I was a part of it. I decided I'd rather be alone with a clear conscience than part of a group that ultimately doesn't match their actions to their words. And yes, I do mean that about both Christians and conservatives. I know what it's like to have someone who you thought was a leader betray the ideals of your group. I know what it's like to have that leader blatantly lie about you to the group. I know what it's like to look at politics with an open mind and realize it's all a scam. I want to go back about a year and a half, and I'm just going to pull this straight out of podcast number 178. This is what I said in the days after Trump was voted back into office. This is actually three parts of the podcast. I will cut out some parts that delve more into Kamala Harris's issues. You're more than welcome to listen to the full episode, but here's what I said back then. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you why other people voted the way they did. That's up to them to tell you. I'm going to tell you why I voted the way I did. And just a little background in case you didn't know. I am a former conservative who now embraces more of the libertarian ideology of small government, self-reliance, and voluntary cooperation with others. I believe the two-party system is corrupted beyond repair, and only the peaceful dismantling of the bureaucratic nightmare machine that is our current federal government, will keep this nation from being destroyed. Despite the lies told to us in the past, the Constitution of the United States tells us specifically what the government is supposed to do on our behalf. And that is the most it should ever do. The rest is illegal. That's not to say it's still necessary for all of those things listed in Article 1, Section 8 to be done, but it keeps the federal level of government small and decentralized. I would also repeal the 16th and 17th Amendments to get rid of the income tax, because taxation is theft, and return the appointment of senators to the states as it was originally, to make state elections more important and give more power back to the individual states. I am, therefore, distrusting of the Democrat Party, as they are easily the farther of the two big political parties from my beliefs. And in the time since I became more libertarian, the Democrat Party has gotten much farther away from me, to the point where I'm not even sure that they are truly looking to uphold the Constitution rather than undermine it for the benefit of some foreign power. I'm also distrusting of the Republican Party, even though there are some things that the party and their candidates say that I agree with. They do not have the track record of actually doing what they say. Their desire for war and intervention in situations around the world while neglecting fiscal responsibility at home makes me question whether they actually care about their stated goals or working with the Democrats to give the lesser of two evil option so their constituents will cede some of their rights so the overall erosion of liberties can proceed. But sorry to throw cold water on your big old right-wing boners that you Republicans have been boasting about for the past several days. Don't think for a moment that we're going to get the bureaucratic spending cuts and reform that we need in this country to take even the tiniest step towards a constitutionally accurate government. Donald Trump didn't drain the swamp. He embraced the swamp. He added $6.5 trillion to the debt during his 4 years in office. Like every other Republican president I've seen in my adult life, he is just as bad, if not worse, at adding to the debt as a Democrat president. Yeah, Elon Musk is heading some kind of unofficial agency that will recommend cuts. But what do you think are the chances that the politicians who actually have the power will go through with it? It's barely been a week since the election, and already right-wing pundits and followers are tepid on many of Trump's choices. Even if he avoids having to deal with another pandemic and further assassination attempts from the obviously unhinged opposition, if you conservatives don't start holding your candidates' feet to the proverbial fire, you're going to be sorely disappointed 4 years from now. Do you think this country can afford another $1 trillion of debt, much less another $6.5 trillion? Despite the myriad promises, despite the assurances from Republicans, their leadership, their pundits, and their sycophants, that this time, Trump will do what he says he's gonna do. Despite all that, he's a liar. This time, not only did he flat out lie, he has targeted the Republicans who insisted he stick to his promises. Thomas Massie stood firm where others folded. while the administration touted the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, led by Elon Musk, and promised sweeping cuts to waste. The results fell far short of the rhetoric we heard from the campaign trail. DOGE initially promised massive savings of $2 trillion. Later scaled that back to $1 trillion, and then around $150 billion. Claims of actual savings have ranged from roughly $160 to $215 billion on their wall of receipts. But independent analyses and fact checkers have repeatedly flagged overstated figures, miscounting, and even net costs in some areas. Targeted reductions, workforce trims, agency reforms, grant cancellations, and contract renegotiations produced some real savings in the billions, yet they paled against the scale of the problem and the trillions still being added to our national debt. The signature One Big Beautiful Bill Act, pushed hard by Trump and MAGA leadership, extended tax provisions, funded border and defense priorities, but independent analyses showed it adding trillions more to deficits over the decade. Massey called it exactly what it was: a debt bomb. Really, another debt bomb. He voted no, one of the very few House Republicans with the courage to do so, because he refused to mortgage your children's future with the same Washington spending addiction the Republicans pledged to end. And look at the numbers. Deficits remain in the $1.8 to $2 trillion range. Deficits. The national debt has climbed past $39 trillion. Debt to GDP keeps rising. Massey has been pointing to that debt clock for years because he understands the math. He didn't suddenly discover fiscal responsibility when it became politically convenient. He has been consistent while others compromised in the name of getting things done. President Trump himself championed this fight against waste. He and DOGE highlighted appalling waste, like improper payments, unnecessary grants, and bloated bureaucracy. Yet when the big legislative packages came, the restraint gave way to priorities that exploded the debt. On foreign policy, the contrast is even sharper. Candidate Trump repeatedly promised no new wars. On election night 2024, he declared, quote, "I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars," end quote. In his inaugural address, he said he would measure success by the wars we never get into. J.D. Vance, too, had long warned against endless interventions and regime change wars in the Middle East. Yet, in February 2026, the United States launched major strikes against Iran. Operation Epic Fury. With airstrikes, leadership targeting, and sustained military action. Now, I talked about that in a recent podcast. I want Iran to be free, but go listen if you want to know more details. Massey opposed the escalation and the related funding measures, staying true to the non-interventionist principles that many in the America First movement once claimed as their own, and libertarians have always demanded. This new war has hit Americans in their wallets. Gas prices surged past $4 a gallon nationally, spiking as much as 30% in places, due to disruptions in the Strait of Hormuz and global oil market volatility. But Trump has promised the conflict would be short. Timelines like 4 to 6 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, or relatively quickly. Months later, with fragile ceasefires, ongoing tensions, and shifting deadlines, those promises ring hollow, while families pay higher prices at the pump. Massey voted against key spending packages and continuing resolutions that carried excessive outlays, foreign aid elements, and provisions that contradicted the limited government visions Republicans originally rallied behind, and that libertarians like me still insist on. He opposed bills tied to the Iran actions for the same reason. These weren't minor procedural objections. They were stands against the very things Trump and MAGA had previously criticized while they were out of power. Bloated omnibus-style legislation, unchecked deficits, and new military entanglements. And then there's the Epstein files. During the 2024 campaign, Trump promised transparency, telling Fox News he would go a long way toward releasing the files and stating on the Lex Fridman podcast that he'd had no problem with it. Yet once back in office, the administration's handling became a masterclass in delay and deflection. Attorney General Pam Bondi initially claimed the client list was sitting on her desk for review. Later, the DOJ declared no such incriminating client list even existed. Then they released heavily redacted batches with entire pages blacked out. They missed statutory deadlines under the Epstein Files Transparency Act and left millions of pages under review. Trump at points downplayed the files, called the aspects a hoax, and suggested moving on. The dragging process, partial releases, and excuses stood in stark contrast to the full transparency candidate Trump had pledged. Thomas Massey refused to let it die in the shadows. He co-led the bipartisan push for the Epstein Files Transparency Act, fought for unredacted access, and made it clear he would use his House floor privileges to read the protected names aloud if the DOJ continued shielding powerful men. He followed through by naming individuals like Leon Black, Jess Staley, and Leslie Wexner on the floor, demanding investigations and real accountability. While others wavered or prioritized protecting the connected, Massey stood for the victims and the truth, no matter which sacred cow got slaughtered. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I really hope Massey reads that list of names that the DOJ is protecting. As for the rest of it, sure, maybe somebody got to Trump after he stepped back into the presidency and turned him. But I don't think so. I don't think Donald Trump ever intended to stay true to his promises. Why? I played you the clip. We already had 4 years of his lies. I never had any expectations, so I'm not surprised that he's doing this. I won't try to guess what Massey is thinking, but I'm glad that he chose to stand with his principles instead of flopping around like a guard on the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I also knew from experience what happens to people who stand up to a corrupt leader. Holding people like that to their own standards brings their despicable side out into the light. As we all know now, Massey was ousted in the primary. Trump found a toady, gave him an endorsement, and sicked his lapdog pundits on Massey, while the funding came from the usual questionable sources. Ed Gallarain's campaign against him became the most expensive House primary in history, with over $32 million in ad spending. Heavy funding came from pro-Trump groups and pro-Israel lobbying organizations like AIPAC-linked PACs, along with major donors such as Miriam Adelson, Paul Singer, and others furious at Massey's consistent opposition to unconditional foreign aid and military escalations. Massey didn't abandon the promises. He kept his word, even when it cost him. In an era where loyalty is demanded above principle, Massey chose principle. The country still needs voices like his who refuse to bend when the temptations of power grow strong. Instead, for the most part in American politics, we get cucks and sheep who can't be bothered to think for themselves, cheering on the loss of Massey in the primary. The debt is higher. The deficit is higher. Inflation continues to raise the cost of living. We're in the middle of yet another war. This is not what was promised. This is not what any rational person who voted for Trump wanted. This is yet another total betrayal of an elected politician, Republican and Democrat alike. This is why I left the conservative movement nearly 20 years ago. This is why I have been mistrusting of them ever since. MAGA is no better than any other con job the two-party system has thrown at us for over a century. Instead of showing the nation that fiscal responsibility could work, MAGA has taken this country one more step closer to oblivion. Not that they care. They're too busy celebrating the removal of one of the few people with the guts to demand that they stick to their own stated principles. MAGA leadership is a bunch of two-faced charlatans. And MAGA supporters are as much a group of weak-willed serial yes-men as their counterparts on the left. The truth is, the swamp was never going to be drained. The MAGA politicians in Washington were always just a different type of muck. Their sycophants are either too brainwashed or too foolish to realize what they're a part of. Or maybe they know, and they just don't care. Either way, I am done with them. I have occasionally voted for them when there was no libertarian or liberty-focused candidate, but no more. I will never waste another vote on that duplicitous scam ever again. As one MAGA zombie posted on X, MAGA is very much alive. Well, maybe so. But they're dead to me. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.